We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
At some point, I'm going to land this plane, but people have been telling me how great this series is that I want to continue it. How do I know that God is speaking? How do I know that God is speaking to me? It's something the rest of your life you'll question, God, is that you? You know what I'm saying? And so today we're going to continue that thought. Those that have been here throughout the series can probably go ahead and, you know, clap back or shout these things back at me when it comes to the three keys that we want to make sure foundationally we understand before we begin digging, okay? I call it the ABCs. A, God is speaking, right? And we know that throughout the scripture, we've seen tons of scripture. I just love this one specifically for the context of this, which you've heard me say before in Job 33. For God does speak. Say, does speak. Now one way and now another, though no one perceives it. What does that mean? God is speaking, but we're struggling to perceive it. God is speaking. Here's the thing I want you to know too, is that B, God wants you to understand. I know that it says that we don't perceive it, but it doesn't mean he doesn't want you to perceive it, otherwise he wouldn't speak. If God didn't want you to understand it, he just wouldn't say it. And we know that Jesus called us friends because he told us what the Father told him, right? And then see, God speaks creatively. I say this because you are unique, and God speaks to you uniquely. But my hope is that as we continue this series, you'll consider all the things that maybe you wrote off as just coincidence, but that God was trying to speak, you just didn't perceive it. Like Jonah last week, right? And so I'm going to keep digging because I got a lot to do and we don't have a lot of time. And so we're going to dive right into it. If you've been taking notes, you get like an extra 100,000 points in the game of life. Not sure what it's going to do later on for you, but they do say that if you write it down, you remember a much higher percentage of it. So I would encourage you to do so. The first thought I want to talk to you about, one of the ways in which God speaks is, number one, God speaks through peace. Say peace. God speaks through peace. And this is what Colossians 3:15 says. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Here's an idea. I understand that people, when they start to get into ideas like peace or get into feelings, they start to get into karma, chi, and energy. That is not God. Let's talk about peace, that the scripture talks about peace. I don't want God to give me good vibes. I want to actually receive the palpable spirit of God. Are you getting me? And so here's the idea. Peace, it says that let the peace of who? Christ, the Son of God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Not just let it have some space. Let it actually take control of your ins and outs, of your thoughts, of your decisions. Allow the peace to rule in your hearts. When you are seeking to find God's will, you can identify the leading of the Holy Spirit when you sense God's peace about a matter, about a situation. And you know what? That's why a lot of people, they will just keep praying until they have peace. Okay? You gotta have peace. Isaiah says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Talking about those that trust in God, God's gonna keep them in perfect peace, right? All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Some people say, I just don't live in that peace. Well, your thoughts aren't fixed on him. Your thoughts are fixed on what the world is dishing out to you today. Your thoughts are fixed on what that person said to you and how they said it and what they meant by it. You know what? Some of the stuff you just got to brush off your shoulder. Get that dirt. Okay. Listen, we got to get it off our shoulder. We've got to fix our eyes on God so that we can actually live in the perfect peace he has for us, right? When we lose peace, we must consider what God is trying to say. Don't just run by it. Don't just say, whatever. Don't just say, I'll figure it out. Don't just say, God will get me out of it. Understand that if you're losing peace about the situation, you need to slow down. Slow down. Because God's best for our lives is that we be led forth in peace and in joy. So have you ever heard someone say, I'm not going to allow these circumstances to rob my joy? Have you ever heard that? This declaration is absolutely biblical. So peace and joy are our possessions when we're born again. When we accept Jesus into our life, they become possessions, right? And the only way that you will walk in unrest as a mature believer is if you allow circumstances or the devil to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your peace, because they're your possession to hold. They're your possession to hold. I say mature believer because the reality is it's hard to walk in a position of faith when you're just figuring out faith. It's hard to secure the possessions that you just figured out how to get a handle on. So that's why God is always calling us forward. That's why he's always wanting us to grow up. That's why he wants to get us off of milk onto solid foods. That's why he wants you to become a mature believer so that you can actually excel in all the things he's called you to. You know, some people think I showed up to church. Isn't that enough? No, that's the entry. The reality is God wants you to become all he's created you to be. But that takes time and it takes maturity and it takes digging in the scripture. It takes iron sharpening iron so one brother or sister sharpens another, right? It takes a village. Yes? So good for you. You're part of a church. Those that are on the other side of this lens, listen to me. Vaccines are available. Listen to me. We're reopening. Come on back. You need community. You need community. Don't tell me that you're just scared of church when you're going to the gym. Don't tell me that you're scared of church when you're going out to eat. Don't tell me you're scared of the church when you're hanging out with the people in the church who are around everyone else. They're not in a bubble, so don't act like your bubble exists. It's time to get back to church. Don't allow apathy to take over. Don't allow apathy to take you. God's doing something. Don't sit on the bench. That was for somebody. Okay. I got all dried out there for a minute. That'll get me fired up. I'm not ready to go back to church, but I'll go to the movie theater. What? I'm not ready to go to church, but I'm going to go touch all the machines everyone else touches in the gym. Okay, I'm good. Woosa. Okay, all right, we're back, church. Listen, the peace needs to rule and reign, okay? But here's a big deal. This doesn't mean tests won't come. This doesn't mean everything will always be easy. It means you can have joy in any circumstance, like the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians. Here's a great thought when it comes to considering God's voice through peace. Ready? This says, the peace of God is like a compass for our souls, leading us in the direction that the Holy Spirit intends for our lives. We can take great comfort in knowing that the sovereign God is so involved in our lives that he would supply us with this internal compass as we seek to do his will. People that aren't seeking to do his will aren't going to even realize the compass is moving. Let God's peace rule and reign. I'm reminded, look at, as I think through this stuff, we need to just hold fast to the direction of God's peace. Though it may lead you into uncomfortable growth, you know what I'm talking about? Or deep waters, right? A sense of peace will prevail in each step for those who heed its whisper. What God is trying to say, what God is trying to do in your life, he leads you through peace. Not because it's easy, but because you know you're doing the exact thing God's called you to do. I'm reminded of how Stephen, even though he knew he was about to die, he was about to be stoned, he had peace knowing regardless the price, testifying of God's truth was exactly what he was supposed to do. Look what it says in Acts 7. It says this, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. How many people understand that some of the road we take for Jesus aren't going to be easy? How many know what will be even harder will be those that deny Jesus for the sake of momentary comfort? Everyone wants to talk about heaven, but ain't no one want to talk about hell. We're a church that realizes hell is just as real as heaven. And we're doing everything we can. We're pouring our resources, our time, our voices to reach people to understand that God has an eternity for them and that they have the opportunity to choose heaven, but it's their choice. It's a big deal, church. You may see all the lights and you may think we're modern, but we're not changing timeless theology for comfort. So remember this, the absence of God's peace in the form of anxiety, stress, anger, or confusion is also a strong indicator warning us that we are stepping out of the will of God. If you have anxiety and stress, you have confusion over a situation, I'll tell you right now, stop and get on your knees and pray, because those are red flags. You ever been skiing and you're getting close to an edge and they've got all these boundary markers and red flags and they've got all these issues? Maybe you're on the black diamond and you shouldn't have been there. Like, what are those marks? Stay away! God is throwing up red flags all over. The Spirit is trying to speak through peace. He's trying to tell you to slow down. Too many people are so quick to jump on an opportunity because it looks good, but it's not the God decision. It's your hope. More and more than ever, I remember the scripture where it says, man makes plans, woman makes plans in their heart, but God establishes their path. What does that mean? It means that I have to understand that doesn't mean that my plan I made in my heart is what God is establishing. It means regardless of what my plans are, he's going to establish his will. And I have to be okay with that. I've got to submit to that. And sometimes when I lose peace, it's because I'm trying to make my own thing happen, not God's thing. Are you getting this, church? So if you find yourself making a big decision and you have a form of confusion, slow down. Don't take the new job. Don't make the life-changing decision. Don't make the move. Slow down. Wait on the Lord. Gain clarity confirmed by God's peace. So remember, timing is everything. Because I want you to say this. Ready? The right thing, say it, the right thing can be the wrong thing if it's not the right timing. The right thing can become the wrong thing if you try and do it in your timing, not his timing. You can know in the very depth of your being what God has called for you to do. You can know in the very depth of your being what the future is going to hold because God has put it in your heart. But you have to wait on his timing. You have to wait on his timing. You can know what God is calling you to, but still not have peace about it yet. That's okay. You don't have to be like, why am I confused? I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't feel right about it. Slow down. Give time for the Spirit. And don't give time for the Spirit by being like, okay, I won't do it today. No, like actually give time for the Spirit. Actually give time for God to speak by getting into your prayer closet, closing the door in your bedroom, wherever it is, having time with God, by yourself, asking him to speak. Too many people want like the airplane to fly by with the banner behind it. It's not what God always, I'm not saying he couldn't, but that's not normally what happens, right? So just as the Lord will grant special peace to the believer when he or she discovers his plan, he will also remove his peace when a Christian strays away from his course for their lives. Keep that in mind. You ready for number two? You getting anything out of this? Okay. Number two, God speaks through discernment. And I didn't spell discernment, right? How you like that? You guys can insert the N wherever you would like because it'll at least be in there like it wasn't for me. Where's Jess? Jess Witt, where are you on the camera? I need you back. Okay. We're at it. You guys didn't know. I was just writing out in Hebrew. You just missed it. So listen, I like to think of discernment as a spiritual intuition. That intuition, that gut feeling or instinct is there's an alarm or a siren that is meant to protect us from harm. Our intuition can be directly tied to our discernment, which is a spiritual gift. Look what it says in Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for those who are mature. Say mature. Who through training, say training, have the skill, say skill, to recognize the difference between right and wrong. See, here's what's important. I had to really drive that because people think just because they became a Christian, they inherit all these powerful gifts. They inherit the ability to do everything immediately overnight. You are not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle that happened to go through ooze. Your soul may be saved, but you still act a fool. We have to mature and through training begin to recognize the difference between right and wrong. How many know it's very hard to recognize right if you're always doing what's wrong with the wrong crowd? Because know what? It still feels right because you're with all the people that thinks it's right, but they don't know. We've got to train ourselves. We've got to mature in our walk with Jesus to understand the difference between right and wrong. Here's a question for you to actually think about. What am I doing that I think is right that actually is wrong? Why don't you chew on that this week? Start looking. Take a fine-tooth comb and start combing through your life and figure out what lie you have allowed yourself to believe for the sake of your comfort. See, we can and should mature in our faith. With maturity and in time, we can exercise a real discernment. Get the word of God in you, grow in your faith. Don't neglect those gut checks that will come. Now listen, don't silence the inner nudges and warnings. Continue to exercise your senses by discerning good and evil. All right, so we see King Solomon uses his God-given discernment and intuition to find the truth in a matter between two mothers in 1 Kings 3. This is a crazy story. Buckle up. Ready for this? Before we get into the scripture, hold on. Let me just give you a background of what's going on. Two mothers living in the same household, both with newborns, okay? One mother accidentally rolls over and suffocates her baby in the middle of the night. She then gets up and exchanges the baby with the other mother in the house, taking the live baby and leaving the dead baby with her. In the morning, the other mother gets up to nurse her baby and finds a dead baby. But in that moment, she realized, this ain't my baby. Any mothers in the house think you would know if you realized that wasn't your baby? She's pretty passionate about, this ain't my baby. And when she sees the other mother with her baby, they start freaking out. How many mothers would throw down? I'm talking getting scary, pulling hair, slapping, elbows, off the top ropes kind of thing. Listen, they get fired up, heated. Obviously, they're fighting over a live baby. It gets all the way to the top court. It gets to the king. So King Solomon is listening to both sides, right? He's listening to both sides. And after hearing the story from both sides, through wisdom and intuition, and as the Bible says, I just told you the scripture, those who are mature through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This is the stuff we're talking about that King Solomon was activating in his life, right? King Solomon made a gutsy call through intuition to reveal the truth. You ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. It says the mothers, they argued back and forth in front of Solomon until he finally said, both of you say this live baby is yours. Someone bring me a sword. What? A sword was brought and Solomon ordered, cut the baby in half. That way each of you can have part of him. How many are freaked out right now? Hold on. Please don't kill my son, the baby's mother screamed. Your majesty, I love him very much, but give him to her. Just don't kill him. The other woman shouted, go ahead and cut him in half. Then neither of us will have the baby. Solomon said, don't kill the baby. Then he pointed to the first woman. She is the real mother. Give the baby to her. Everyone in Israel was amazed when they heard how Solomon had made his decision. How many know that was on the front page? That went viral fast, right? They realized that God had given him wisdom to judge fairly. God had given him wisdom to judge fairly. That's what we're talking about. Discerning right and wrong, good and evil. It's something we can have too. I don't think you should carry a sword around with you everywhere, but it's something that can be activated in our life. I'll tell you, my wife has some of the strongest discernment I've ever been around. The only other person that compares is my mother. The Bible does say wisdom is a she, y'all. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But listen, I get around her and she's just like, no, I don't think so. That's something. Something's off. And I'm like, you kidding me? This is going to be amazing. We're going to do this. It's going to be like this. It's going to be whoa. And she's like, I just don't feel right about it. Sure enough, the thing blows up in my face. I'm like Wile E. Coyote. Like, just blown up, okay? Or like Tomcat and Jerry Got Me Again. All I'm saying is God gives the gift of discernment to those who mature. I'm activating it a little slower because as a visionary, you just kind of run. But find yourself a spouse who balances you, you know what I'm saying? Then you'll be caught less with the dynamite in your hand, okay? Okay, but let me go back to this. King Solomon was never going to kill the baby. He had discernment on what was happening and received wisdom on how to discern the real truth. He knew that the real mother would stand up and say, please give it. He knew that the mother who had lost her own baby in her own distress. How many know when you're in a bad spot, you want everyone to be there with you? You ever been around somebody who's in a bad spot and you feel like you're hanging out by like the crab pot and the crab's pulling you down and you're just like, I got to get out of here for the sake of my well-being? Listen, Solomon understood that, and he did something many wouldn't. Whew. When you got a tough decision, bring out the sword. That's all I'm saying. We can see, okay, ready? Number three, because I got to keep moving quickly. God speaks through miracles. Say miracles. He speaks through miracles. We can see many times where God makes clear what he thinks, where he stands, what he is trying to say or convey through miracles. Obviously, we can talk about his son Jesus and the miracle of resurrection. We understand what that means. You know, we can talk about all these different miracles throughout the scripture. But what I want to tell you is, now let me specify this. We can understand what God says through miracles. We are not God and don't have the ability to understand when miracles don't happen. You have one way of doing it, not the other. You can understand and perceive what God's trying to do through having and receiving the miracle or seeing the miracle, but you are not God enough to be able to read his mind and find out why something didn't happen. So stop it! Okay, we'll move on. Don't try and act like God. Don't try and read his mind. It's in those moments where I haven't seen the miracle in my life. It's in those moments where we've lost our own children. It's in those moments with miscarriages where I have to hold fast to what Job said. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there are moments in your life where you have been standing and hoping and praying for that miracle and we haven't seen that miracle yet. Don't try and figure out what God's trying to say there. Understand he's God. Understand we live in a fallen world, and understand not everything works the way we'd like it to and the timing we'd like it to. Yes? So let me help you understand sometimes in the scripture where God has specifically been speaking through a miracle. Okay, let's go back over 3,000 years ago. The Jews have been slaves under Pharaoh for hundreds of years, but God has sent Moses in his power to free his people. Now, we could go through each and every plague, which was its own miracle, to bring forth what God was looking to do, but I'm not going to go through every plague. So we'll just say after the many plagues God brought upon Pharaoh, the Israelites were finally freed by the Egyptians, but the story didn't stop there, right? We see that the Israelites in a desperate situation where they've been obeying God's word, and they began the Exodus. That's what the book of Exodus is. It's literally them leaving Egypt, right? The Exodus that was happening. And so we see that as they begin the Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land, they find themselves standing in front of the Red Sea. It's before them, and the Egyptian army is now behind them, coming after them. They thought they were home free, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a very sticky situation, and they're saying, God, what's going on? Other people are yelling to Moses, could we not just have died in Egypt? Why'd you bring us all the way out here to die? How many understand it was a stressful situation? Let's pick it up there. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on to their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Let's jump to 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, after all of them had gotten out, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. What? That's a crazy story, right? Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remains, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and to the left. Look at, he goes on to say how the Lord saved Israel that day. I need you to understand this. God speaks through miracles. We see God make clear that he is with Israel. Do we or do we not? I'd say that that miracle made very clear what God was thinking about his nation. Yes? It goes on, and It also talks about that he confirmed that they again are still his people and that anyone who stands against them will not prevail. Side note, I'm going to go there. I don't normally do current affairs in church. But listen, let me tell you what is going on right now in the Middle East is not a coincidence. The conflict between Palestine and Israel goes back millennia. Many don't realize the modern day Palestine is what used to be Philistia. What does that mean? It means the Philistines are still fighting with Israel, minus Goliath. Their country has just been renamed Palestine. Church, don't hear me wrong. Don't hear me wrong. My heart breaks, literally breaks, for all the innocent lives on both sides that have been lost. How many can agree upon that? My heart breaks for the innocent caught in the middle. But let me make it clear that God will always stand with his people Israel. And he will bless those who stand alongside them. That is the reason I rejoiced when we moved our embassy. Not because of politics, because of our alignment with God's nation. Did you hear me correctly? It's also important to remember standing with Israel does not mean you oppose other countries. It means you desire peace for all, but we're including Israel. But that's not being offered to Israel. So back to my point. We're back. God was speaking through the miracle of the Red Sea. He was saying, your enemies are my enemies. He was saying, if I sent you, I will make a way. He was saying, don't be focused on circumstances or what things look like. I got you. The biggest thing that stands out to me is God was saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. God continues to speak through miracles beyond the pages of this good book. He continues to speak of miracles. And I know we are sitting in a house of miracles because where his presence is, there is no limitation. Anything can happen, and it probably will. I hear testimonies of God's miracles more than you'd think, and I'm asking Amanda to come on up here and share one of her miracle testimonies.
Good morning. So years back, I had a clumsy accident and I broke my back and I sprained my neck. I had multiple injuries. And while I was going through, you know, physical therapy and seeing all these different doctors, I lost feeling on the whole left side of my body. So I ended up having to go see a neurologist. And then we found out some unrelated information. My brain was full of holes. He was like, it's actually a miracle that you can communicate. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, holes in my brain. Like, when I was in school, I struggled with, you know, learning disabilities and couldn't, like, retain information. I was in special education classes. And he's like, no, your brain looks like you are a 50 or 60-year-old drug addict. Like, you should not be able to function the way that you do. And I'm still downplaying it, like, okay, like, I don't really know what this means. I'm fine. but he related it back to when my mom was pregnant with me and the substance abuse that she went through. So he was like, you should not have been able to do anything that you're able to do. And I went through this difficult moment where I was like, okay, now I have more information, more healing to pray for. I'm already battling all these different things. And I have amazing friends in this house who just built up my faith, and we were praying, and I'm declaring the healing scriptures over myself. And, you know, I have the mind of Christ, and I still repeat that every day. I have the mind of Christ. And as I'm going through, I could, like, if I was looking at something, I could hold it. As soon as my eyes were off of the object, my body let go of whatever object I was holding. Thankfully, that has been healed. God is so good.
Wow.
But the most amazing thing is when I went back to see the neurologist a year later, he did another scan on my brain, and my brain is completely healed. Like, and it's, he's looking at these images, and he was rejoicing in a way that I didn't even know I should be rejoicing for this. He has an image of my before and after brain in his office, and he was like, I've waited my whole career for a miracle, for a documented miracle. So he acknowledged what God did. And it was just such a powerful moment for me because I had experienced instant miracles before. I had seen it with my friends. I had seen it with my own child. So the whole time I'm like battling, like, God, I've seen you do these miracles before and this is taking forever. Like, I'm declaring things. I know that I'm healed, but the manifestation took forever. I'm like, hello, am I doing something wrong? And then when it finally happened, it was this acknowledgement that God is faithful and he is trustworthy. He's so trustworthy. There's things that I'm waiting for, miracles right now. And it's like, I'm not like discouraged anymore. It's just, come on, God, I want to share your goodness. I want to tell people all of the amazing things that you've done. So it was just amazing. It was amazing. Awesome. Thank you.
And as Amanda and I talked about her story, she said, I just felt like God was saying, you can trust me with anything. I'm on it. Just know that I've got it. And I want to tell you, God is still doing miracles. He's still speaking through miracles. And God will speak through your miracle too, if you're willing to make it about his glory. He will make you a mouthpiece with your own testimony. In fact, the testimony of your salvation is a miracle. And we're about to experience many miracles around us in this moment. I ask, would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're on the other side of the screen, don't shut off. Look, God, he provided the most amazing miracle when he sent his only son, Jesus, to come. That God would robe himself in flesh and walk this earth and live a perfect life, one that we couldn't. And fulfill the Old Testament, the old agreement that God had made with mankind. He fulfilled the old agreement so that he could offer a new agreement, which we read about in the New Testament. Because Jesus took our sins to the cross, he says that we can now live with him for eternity. That heaven is opened, that the big divide, the relationship that had been split between us and God because of our sin has been reunited because of the Son. And you say, that sounds amazing, but what do I have to do to be a part of God's family? The Bible says that you need to confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is and that he did what the Word tells us he did. That's a faith leap, but it's faith that opens the door to all God has for us.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.